Tony Curry Radio, TKR on the Tony Curry Radio app. Thanks to tens of thousands of folks already downloaded the app. We just were on Facebook Live a few minutes ago. I did ask the question, how in the hell, I mean, I follow about 5,000 people on Facebook. I can't understand. Every time I get on, there's like 500 people live. What do people do in the mornings? Why are 500 people live on Facebook Live in the morning? Maybe Dr. Josh Klapo, our clinical psychologist, can fill me in on how many people can be on Facebook Live at 8 o'clock. There's not that many people unemployed, right, Doc?
Yeah. We're hybrid. We're multitasking.
Exactly. By the way, where the hell are you, by the way? You were in the studio. You were with me for 5 years, and I haven't seen you in a month and a half, a month of Sundays. What's going on, man? What's happening? I know what's happening.
I texted you this morning. It's effing Omicron.
Yeah.
And don't tell me everybody's getting it. It's all around us. I've got to hear one more.
Well, it is. It's true.
True. Well, yes. Right. So, I mean, yeah, but you've heard me say, it's not the common cold. So I'm all good until there's an exposure. And, you know, we had exposure on my side, and then there's an exposure on your side. Mm-hmm. And my hope is in 2 weeks, talking to Dr. Mike Sag, heard from him, and it looks like we're peaking. So in 2 weeks, once it all gets around, then I'll be backing out. That's just kind of the way I roll.
I think we're, again, we're evolving through this, and normalcy, it'll never be the same again. And I think we're just kind of taking it a day at a time, like we probably should. And again, you just listen to the CDC and you try to believe what the scientists are telling you. And we know the Omicron variant isn't as nearly as bad as the Delta or some of the previous variants. And so through that, someone tells me that their kid has tested positive for Omicron, and then the school is saying it's okay for them to come back the next day. We have moved the line in the sand so many times from going one direction down aisle three at Publix to the point where we're like, listen, we have to live. And it's not, we can't just keep shutting it down because it's not going away. I heard old Joe yesterday in between naps talking about, you know, we had 2 million people vaccinated this time last year. Now we have 221 million. That's great. But, you know, we're just going to have to work through it. And like you were saying before, though, and we can use the excuse that we can't find tests, and it's not really an excuse because you can't. There's not test. I bought a bunch of tests a few months ago just because I felt like I just wanted to have one. And I would take one just for fun, just to check. Now I'm not taking them. They're locked up. I got a childproof thing on. I don't even want to go in and take the test because, quite frankly, I don't want the inconvenience. So I, as not a self-absorbed or selfish individual, but a person who does care about humanity as a whole, I'm treating like this, like I have a super bad cold, I don't know if I have it or not, and I don't want to know because I have been exposed. I know other people in my family have it, and so I'm treating it like I would any other time, and that is I just don't get around people. I'm so I feel okay with that. If I go out, I wear a mask. I went to church last Sunday. And I had this tickle in the back of my throat, and so I sat in the crying room by myself. That way I knew that I was good to go. I didn't want people to look at me, and so that's what you do, but you keep living your life because you have to.
No, I love your analogy. It's actually a really good one, and it actually is much more – it's consistent with what the recommendations are, which is if you've been exposed and you don't have any symptoms, like your kid is sick, forget – pre-pandemic crap. Your kid comes home and they're sick, right? And they got a bad cold and you know it. You know, the courteous thing to do if you're going to be around your friends or whatever, say, look, my kid's sick and they're around me, you know, just letting you know. It may not be a great idea for me to be around you, even though I feel okay because you've been exposed. That's all. I mean, that's the same thing with a cold. I think it's the same thing here. There's no reason to test yourself if you don't have any symptoms. But if you've been with somebody who you know has it, then there is a – and this is the part where it's not like science fiction. This thing is so infectious that if you've been with somebody who's had it, there is a very decent chance that you're walking around with it, even if you feel fine. And so while it doesn't impact you, it could impact other people. And to your point, that's your point, which is just be courteous.
Yeah.
Like just – be courteous. This is, you know, this is, this is the kid who's got the flu, or maybe not the flu, really bad cold. You pump them up with ibuprofen and you go, yeah, my kid's fine. I'm fine. It's all good. So that's all I am. Look, you and I have done this for 3 years, and with particularly here, we've worked for a long time together, and we make it work. And I think that's the thing, is make it work. Let's not at this point just give up. You make it work. That's all.
Yeah. And I think the majority are doing it. And there's another thing where, you know, when the floodgates open, you know, the old saying, if one person's right and everyone's wrong, he's still right. And if you're doing something that everyone else is doing that's wrong, you're still wrong in doing that. But there is this feeling now where you're like, screw this. Everyone's out doing what they want to do, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And you can do that. You just need to be super careful about that. Put the mask on. And I'm seeing more people wear a mask and stuff like that, because I think we're just kind of tired of it. But anyway, speaking of Omicron and the Delta variant, one Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons both had it. They have incredible protocol when it comes to their backstage things. They're all about their brand and making money, and they hate the fact they don't have meet and greets. They're not making the kind of cash. The Kiss Army isn't as big as it used to be, but they're back in the road doing the thing. Paul Stanley turns 70 years old today. And I remember vividly seeing Kiss for the first time when I was like, I don't know, like 11 years old. Do you have any good Kiss stories or good Kiss remembrances of when you saw Kiss first, your thoughts of them taking the makeup off, the fact they put their makeup back on? But Paul Stanley, yeah, 70 years old today. And by the way, he just reposted my Facebook post. So thank you, Paul. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I can think of, what I love about doing, I do this with all classic rock. And we talked about this on Adaptogen with Alex Hewine. You think about you say a group like Kiss or you know, Rush, or it doesn't matter, AC/DC, and then just, it's kind of a psychological thing. Immediately, what's the first thing that kind of comes to mind from your childhood? I love doing that. And so as soon as you said Kiss, there's like three things that came to mind. Number one, the lunchbox. It's just that was the first thing that came to mind. Number one, lunchbox. Number two, everybody writing Kiss on their like binders or, yes, folders, right? Instead of like paying attention in class, we're all make and kind of comparing like who could make it look the S's the best, right?
You could actually make a point that Kiss was responsible for font.
Oh yeah,
because I mean, we always draw, but I mean, you know, an AC/DC to a point a little later, but I mean that Kiss font, that look of Kiss. Yeah, because we started making our names out of Kiss font. Yeah, I remember. It was great.
So that was it. And then the third thing really was, and I think this is more my age, because I wasn't a huge, you know, Alice Cooper. I just, for whatever reason, I didn't go down the Alice Cooper route. But for me, Kiss, seeing them perform with the platform shoes. I mean, the makeup was pretty cool and whatever, but I was like, oh my God, like these guys are, it's more than makeup. You know, it was so costumed up that it kind of blew me away. And I remember thinking, it was one thing to listen to them, you know, and then see them on the lunchbox. But like when I actually could see them perform, I don't know, it really changed my mind about music performance. And this was, you know, I hate to date ourselves, but this was pre-MTV. So it wasn't about videos. You know what I mean? It wasn't like we had already seen a ton of videos. So it was somewhere in between, and it was pretty awesome. And I think the other difference too is it didn't have quite the, not at all, didn't have the darkness of like, you know, a Black Sabbath or an Ozzy or even an Alice Cooper. It was, I don't know, I wouldn't say it was more, well, it was more upbeat. Upbeat in the sound or in the lyrics and the feel, and it changed the way I thought about music without a doubt, because it brought in the visual part.
Yeah, the other part too is Kiss was the first one that really branded out.
That's true. There were no Alice Cooper. There weren't Alice Cooper lunchboxes.
No, it wasn't. It was brilliant. And it seemed like it was something like, how can we afford to have lunchboxes in every kid's home? And they figured it out. And now they have Kiss coffins and Kiss airplanes and Kiss cars. And I mean, it's just amazing how they branched out. And again, when you get large enough that you can have someone take the financial hit for things that aren't successful, you still get it out there, and it got to the point where it's huge. I saw this really interesting story, and I was thinking about you. We always talk about, because both you and I are in our 50s. We even have an image liner that runs two guys in our 50s who think we're in our 20s that act like we're in our 30s or something along those lines. And I do consider my brain young. I consider my body somewhat young, and I certainly think young. John Mellencamp came out yesterday. You like John?
I do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call myself a diehard fan, but I do, yes.
Man, I remember hearing Jack and Diane every stinking morning. This is when you could have radios on buses. My bus driver had pink makeup, the blue rouge. She smoked cigarettes, and she had her own stereo system in the bus. She used to sideswipe trees on the way to school, and that Jack and Diane tune would come on in the morning, and I mean, the radio was so loud, you couldn't hear the kids screaming. He came out yesterday.
Can I just interrupt you? With
yeah,
this?
Sure.
You're going to rip on my ass. This is so classic me growing up in L.A. So we love the song on the West Coast, grew up in L.A., right? And we would be belting it out just like everybody did all around the country. And I remember so distinctly the lyric, you know, just yelling and singing, "The Bible Belt will save your soul," right?
Yep.
We had no clue what that was. I mean, I remember talking to like the Bible Belt. What's a belt? Like, what's a Bible belt?
Did you know what Bobby Brooks were? Dribble off those Bobby Brooks. Let me do what I please.
Nope. Had no idea. Like, just no. Much like any other lyrics. All right, go ahead. Anyway,
Can I tell you something? I used to do these Catholic youth organization, these search weekends. You know, this is probably why I didn't get laid till I was in my 20s. But we used to go weekends. We'd go to St. Mary's or St. Joe's downtown, and we'd have like 1,000 kids, and we'd do the wagon wheel where we hold hands and we'd pray together. And with their David Firth, who would be some gospel singer, would come in and sing these songs, and we'd do charities and things like that. We were good kids, and so we had these workshops, and there was one workshop about the entire song of "Hurt So Good" and how that song was the devil. And then if you listen to the words, it's not a song that we should revel in, that we should enjoy. And we broke it down lyrically to say what exactly "Hurt So Good" was all about. And I remember, and I believed it because I was there. And now I look back on it, it was kind of funny. Speaking of John, though, he came out yesterday in People Magazine. He said, quote, very simply, "Luck is thinking you're lucky, period." While reminiscing on his decades-long music career, and you're talking to one of the luckiest guys you've ever talked to. He's 70 years old as well. He quit drugs and alcohol back in 1971, which is kind of hard to believe because that was well before he had all of his success, and maybe that's why he was successful. He said that unlike many of his friends and peers, he was able to simply mature out of using drugs and alcohol. He said, "I just got to the point where I just kind of matured out and it just wasn't fun anymore." He said they couldn't get off the party bus. There comes a time when you got to go, okay, I'm done with this shit. It's funny and attractive to be 25. We've said this a million times, and I read this quote, and I was like, this is so on. Because we always talk about, you know, when you're 25, it's okay to look at porn. It's okay to go on spring break. It's okay to go down to hedonism. It's okay to cheat. It's okay to smoke cigarettes. It's okay to smoke dope and do lines of coke. But, you know, when you're 50, you're flipping creep. When you're 55 and you're still doing all those things and going to the beach with binoculars, something's wrong with you. He said, it's funny and attractive to be 25 years old and be someplace high and drunk. But when you get to a certain age, it's not fun anymore. It's not cute. It's not sexy. There's nothing good about it. And he said, I knew I was in trouble. It wasn't something that I felt like I had to quit. He said, but it just happened. I just matured out of it. Can you talk about from a psychological standpoint how that works? Because a lot of people can't seem to get off that freeway.
Well, they don't. Right? I was just going to say, they don't. I mean, I think a couple things. I think sometimes what folks do is they kind of look at their life and they're not satisfied with kind of where they are or where they want to be. And it can be anything. It can be job, relationships, you know, wealth, whatever. And if you think about it, most of us look back on that time, whether we were in our teens or our 20s, whatever. And for a lot of us, like, that was fun, right? We were partying and everything you just said. So I think what a lot of people do is they kind of go, okay, here's where I am, and this kind of sucks, or at least it's not as great as it was. And so they frankly kind of revert back, right? You know, they because I think most people, there is a period where they go from partying to maybe less partying or no partying. And then they start ramping back up because, you know, it's more fun to do those things than it is to be a grown up. And, you know, if you think about it, too, I mean, I'm just using as an example. But I mean, Jimmy Buffett is such a great example of all of us who are over whatever age, able to party and think about experiencing things just like college kids do, right? And we do it with them. And I think the sad thing is, you know, far be it from us to judge what somebody's life is, but yeah, I mean, if you're waking up and you're getting blasted on weekends and you're watching porn and you're doing lines and you're 50 years old, I mean, it's your choice, but the question becomes, is that all you want out of life? And for some people, I mean, this is where I don't, that's all they want out of life. That's it.
And sometimes they're successful and happy. We're certainly not poo-pooing on the guy who's 52 or 53 and gets drunk once in a week, a weekend, or watching football games or wants to get together. Okay. That's fine. I mean, there's a young quality about that. It is sexy. It's fun. You don't want to be that guy that's falling down in the middle of the floor in the middle of his party. But certainly we have people that imbibe weekly, nightly to relax. And I think we're all kind of looking for vices. I'm around a friend of mine who recently just got off his pain medication, and he gave up drinking, he gave up smoking, he gave up all these things, and now he's just kind of empty. And I was like, he's like, I really, there's something I need to look forward to, whether it's that first drag in the morning or whether it's that drink after I get off work. And I said, well, I said, you know, first thing is we know that you don't quit everything at once. You do things once at a time. And I do believe that when you do give up vices, and we've seen this through AA and NANA and all these other organizations that are wonderful, that you do need to fill something to fill that void. You need to find that one thing that made, because those things we do, they alter your brain and they make you feel better. And some people like to go for a 5-mile run. Most of us aren't that kind of guy to get that natural high. It doesn't feel good. And so we're looking for that quick fix. And so you need to find different things. The thing about maturing out, and I don't know if this is because John did it. I was really surprised that I thought maybe he had gotten sober in the mid 80s or something after, but 1971. I mean, he was young when he gave it all up, was that normally through our maturation process, there are different things in our life that do bring us joy. Natural joy, that may be children, that may be marriage, that may be relationships, that may be job changings, that may be moving, these different. And so it is something that we just kind of grow out of. I know a lot of people that used to drink 6, 7, 8, 9 beers a night, and now they just have a couple and they're good to go because it's just not as important as it used to be. And it wasn't something that one day they decided, hey, I'm going to stop. It was just something that they kind of grew out of. So I kind of understand where John's coming from.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's easy to be judgy, right? It's easy for us to be judgy and kind of go, what you just said, come on. You know, you're 52 years old, you're watching porn, you're smoking dope, you know, and everybody's got different lifestyles. I mean, hell, go down to the Keys, go to Costa Rica, go to Barbados, you'll see it, right? I mean, you'll see that's kind of the lifestyle that a lot of people live. To me, the most important part, and it's hard to get to this, is why did you choose this lifestyle? Like what did you choose it? Cause it fulfills you, or did you choose it because looking forward in life, doesn't offer you anything or doesn't offer you what you want. And so it's easier to revert back. And the only problem with all the other that stuff is, you know, what are we? We're two guys in our 50s who think we're in our 30s. Well, here's the problem. And this is a reality check. You know, when you're in your 50s, your body doesn't handle booze and coke and partying and not sleeping like you did when you're in 20s and 30s. So, you know, that's the risk that you're taking, is that you're going to, you know, you run the risk of burning it out a lot more quickly than when you were in your 20s and 30s.
Dr. Josh Klapo is back. It's the Curry and Klapo Show. We're on Thursdays. We'll replay the show later on tonight between 6 and 8. And, of course, later on tonight, right around 8 o'clock, it's Blues Almighty with Austin Hanks, a brand-new show in the can. You can hear that at noon and 8 o'clock here on Thursday. I'm going to make this really simple for anyone listening out there, whether you're 75 or whether you're 25. When you use smoking, drinking, drugging, whatever you want, chasing, whatever you want to call it, those vices, and it's a supplementary type of situation where, oh, hey, there's beer here. Awesome. I'll have me a couple of pops. We do it at weddings. We do it at, hell, we do it at funerals, for God's sakes. I have friends of mine that show up at funerals with you know, cases of beer in the back of the back seat of the car. When you have these things as supplementary type of things, that's when it's fun. That's when it's good. Yeah. It adds to the moment. Man, I had a little, I remember being at that Steely Dan concert and I had a little bit of a buzz and it just smoothed out the edges of the evening. It was a perfect night. I wasn't so blasted that I don't remember anything. I could remember the music. It was, and then when it switches over to something that you have to have in order to have a good time, that's when you know you're in a little bit of trouble.
That's right.
That's when you're the first one getting drunk at 9:30 or you're showing up already drunk before the party even starts. And I'm not saying everyone's got a problem, and certainly I'm not here to mentor or be sponsored for
anybody. Come on.
No, it's just one of those things where you realize, okay, now if you are going to a funeral and there's no beer and you're leaving early, then maybe you got a problem. I got a couple relationship stories I want to get into that okay. I earmarked for you when I saw these, and one came out yesterday. A woman claims on TikTok, good looking woman too, that she knew her fiance was cheating on her the minute this one thing subtly changed. Do you want to take a stab at what she's talking about? And by the way, 66,000 people agreed with her. It went to Reddit. It went viral. It exploded.
Oh my God.
She said she could tell her fiance was cheating by the way he did this. And I'd never heard of this. And I was kind of like, that kind of makes sense.
I don't know. Walked into a room.
The way he kissed her.
Oh, yeah. See, I was... Damn it.
She said, the moment I should have known my ex-fiance was cheating on me was the moment he started kissing me differently. He came home one night, and when he kissed me, something felt like he was a stranger. I asked him about it. She said, I didn't think he was cheating. I had no reason to think he was cheating, but something just wasn't right. It was my gut. I asked him about it. He told me I was being paranoid, of course, and I was looking for reasons to get mad at him, but I should have known better because you don't just wake up one day and start kissing differently. The kissing style doesn't change. The kissing style only changes when you're kissing a different person, so I should have known better. Clearly, her observation has rung true with many TikTok users. It's been like 66,000 times. She went on to say, so the reason we know when they're cheating is because we feel the energy from the new person they have been with. Spot on. It's crazy how we notice the little things like a kiss and how that kind of tips us off. You think there's something to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my problem was I was trying to go too off the rails with it. Not obvious. I mean, think about it. She said something different. I think there's a lot of different ways that it could be. One, more hesitant, just kind of pull back a bit because the person's got their mind on somebody else, you know, maybe for the first time. And so not quite all in the kiss. That's number one. Number two, like, let's just get into the mechanics. Just like, you know, if you've been with somebody for a while, you kind of know the way they kiss you. There's kind of a habit there, right? You know, maybe a little variation, but all of a sudden it's just, they're not kissing me the same way. When I say the same way, again, the mechanics, right? You know, he usually does this first and then he does this and he moves over to my neck and he kisses my lips this way. So he's doing it different. That's number two. And then number three, intensity the other way. So I said number one was kind of backed off a little bit, maybe a little.
Yes.
And number three, you know, and then number one is back off. Number two is the mechanics, just kind of do it. And then number three is kind of going in for the kill. And it's a compensatory thing. It's like, yo, I'm going to show you how much I love you because I'm with someone else. I think any one of those three, I don't know if she describes it in hers, but I think any one of those three is likely to happen. I mean, it could be all three. But that's what's going on because it's no longer just about him and her. His mind is someplace else, and he's adjusting accordingly.
We're not trying to put any shadow of a doubt into anyone's relationship right now if they're listening, but you bring up a great point because what we find is when you're getting something from someone else, you believe you don't want it from that original person anymore. And normally, and at least according to Dr. Misty Smith, our sex therapist and marriage counselor, it's about 50-50 in that you do start seeing them wanting to be more intimate with you. From a compensatory standpoint. Not only because they feel guilty, they want to make sure, I want to make sure she's getting everything she needs, so I feel okay about getting it on the side as well. There's plenty to go around, because when you are using all your love for someone else besides your wife or your girlfriend, she's getting none, then you feel horrible about it. And as long as you obviously are intimate and you're engaged with this person, you can be that person. First of all, it's going to throw them off the scent trail. And second of all, you feel better about it because you have plenty of love to give to everybody. It, outside the lipstick on the collar, outside the teeth whitening, outside the new clothes maybe you're buying, outside going out at weird hours, going to work out at the gym at 4 o'clock in the morning all of a sudden, every single morning, weird things. I think it's really interesting. More intimacy, and obviously the other thing is when they want to start trying new and exciting things. It could be, you know, I want to go for a hike today. Let's go for a hike today. And you've never been a hiker. You're like, that's kind of weird. You never want
to. Yeah.
I want to go. Yeah, I want to start going camping. I want to start going out bowling. You want to start doing. It's not to say that sometimes people can't just change and they want to. Maybe they're trying to freshen up their own relationship. I'm not shading doubt here on this thing.
Right.
And the other thing is just from, and this is just hardcore, trying new sexual positions. Trying new different things in the bedroom. You know, I've been thinking about trying something different. And that's one of those, I'd love to try that something. Where did you get the idea? Find out where it came from. maybe this is something where, you know, they have these sex board games. This is something where you can sit down and actually explore these new positions and new intimacy tactics.
Look at you. And
do it together. But if one person's coming to the relationship and out of the blue, and it seems like they've already done it before, well, I used to do this with a girlfriend back in, you know, eighth grade, and I want to try it now with you, and we're 55 years old. It don't jive. The one thing that you and I have always talked about, and as far as I know, it's close to like bacterial killings, 99.9% kills bacteria. If your gut is telling you, if you're doing everything the same and you have no reason to think you're doing anything wrong or guilty, and your gut is telling you something just isn't right, it's like leaving the house without that note. You get in the car, you know, and you're like, I'm forgetting something. It's that gut. You're always forgetting something. I did it when I posted Keith Richards' birthday the other day. His birthday's on December 18th, not January 18th, and I posted it, and something just didn't feel right. And I went back and looked through my post. I said, did I miss some grammar? Did I have the wrong picture here? And I didn't even think to go back and see I had the wrong fucking birthday for Keith Richards. And people were like, dude, his birthday was a month ago. It's just that one little thing that's not quite coagulating in your brain, and it's just not quite right. And so if there's, for whatever reason, this gut feeling, well, he's working really hard, he's been under a lot of stress, maybe his mother's sick, maybe he just got over the COVID thing, whatever it is. If there's just a little piece, and it's not to say you need to be paranoid and freaked out every time it happens, because it certainly things happen too. And it's certainly not fun when someone accuses you of something that is totally unrelatable to how you're feeling or what you're doing. But if you have that little bit of a gut feeling, that's something to think about. All right, so another piece of relationship, I love this story. So these three guys and their three wives are out at this restaurant, and they're sitting at a sports bar. And they're talking about their bucket list women, which is never really a good thing to do around your wife anyway, because the wife knows you're never going to have a chance to hang out with Jessica Alba, but you can say that. So one guy's talking about, so who's your one woman who you think is the hottest woman on earth, right? So they all come out with their women. Their wives are sitting there, and they're laughing, and like they have a shot, you know? And so the one guy says, well, mine's this girl. And the other guy says, well, mine's this girl. And the guy's like, why would you pick her? Well, we'll use Scarlett Johansson just as an example. Why would you pick Scarlett Johansson? He goes, well, you know, the way she looks and the way she acts, she looks like she'd be fun, blah, 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 blah. To which the wife chimes in and says, well, she's not as beautiful as I am, right? I mean, you talk about this girl. I mean, she's a celebrity and all, and she's rich, and I get that, and that's something I probably couldn't be, but she's not nearly as beautiful as I am, right? I mean, she's not smoking hot. To which, and he's been married to this girl for 6 years. They have a very open relationship, not open in that way, but open in that they share their thoughts. They don't lie to each other, and they're honest with each other. To which he says, well, honey, you're beautiful, but come on. I mean, I love you, and you're my wife. And obviously she gets really upset. The other wives are kind of looking at her like, you know, why are you making such a big deal out of this? And then it got really quiet. She stormed out of the joint. So when I talked about this, so when I talked about the story, the first thing I said is this is the old, do these pants make my ass look big?
That's right.
You, and he's like, well, I didn't. So half the people said, well, good. You shouldn't lie to your wife. You should be honest with her. The second half said, why did she even bring that up? Because she's pining for a compliment Yes. That, quite frankly, wasn't part of the discussion. The third thing is the fix, and that is, honey, this woman, I don't even know this woman. I don't even know Scarlett Johansson. But I can tell you from top to bottom, inside and out, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever been with. That's why I married you. And then you're off the hook. Now, if she wants to push, well, what about the way she looks? I thought she said you like blonde. Then you're not going to win that argument.
Yeah, I mean, you got to stop right there. I mean, it goes from the guy sort of saying things that, you know, does this make my ass look big? And here's the thing. I've been married a long time. They will tell you, my wife and others will tell you, when they ask, they either want one of two things. They either want a true opinion, really a true opinion. You know, they're concerned, does this make my ass look big? Or they just want you to say, you look great. And sometimes you can ask, what do you want? Do you want to hear that you look great, or do you want my highest critique? And, you know, depending on the relationship, you can do that. That's okay. But the other thing is, her reaction is too much, right? I mean, this is a fun, funny kind of thing. And when she's getting kind of bent out of shape on it, that's telling you a lot about her and her insecurities, right? I mean, he could have just said, no, sweetie, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. You know, that's why I married you, et cetera. Or he could have said, you know, I love you. You're absolutely beautiful. But I think Scarlett Johansson is also amazing. The fact that she got very upset immediately is that red flag or yellow flag or whatever you want to call it. It's like, what are you doing? That tells you something that within the relationship, there is something not good, because this is a really minor thing and she's making it a major thing. And that's not good. That's a bad, bad sign.
There you have it. Dr. Josh Klapo, Tony Curry, The Curry and Klapo Show airs every Thursday morning from 7:30 to 9:30. We're totally evolving here on Tony Curry Radio, so we're always adding things. And with all these new shows we got going on, we have Dark Side the Pooch, brought to you by Ed's Pet World, around for 47 years. Fantastic. Exotic pets, great toys. Seth does a bang-up job down there. That's on noon and 8 o'clock. By the way, this next Monday we're talking about gay pets. Do you think you've ever owned a gay pet?
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's asexual, right? And there's that's real. I love Dr. Rab.
Yeah.
I need to write down my questions and just like generically send my questions in, because that's a great question.
Oh, we're getting about 10 to 15 emails a week. Great question. So we'll talk about that. Then, of course, on Wednesdays is Dark Side of the Pooch at 8 o'clock. But right before that, our brand new show that we aired last night with Michael Coleman. It's called Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission on your mind. It's a rock visionary kind of a show. It's fantastic. He talks about NFPs and entrepreneurial footprints in the business world. We got that going on Wednesday at noon and 7:30. Thursday, which is today, Austin Hanks, Blues Almighty. His brand new show will air at noon and 8 o'clock later on tonight. The Damon Johnson Show replays on Fridays at noon and 8. And then, of course, on Tuesday, and by the way, we have another show called When in Rome that'll start next week with Stuart Rome from the Woodhouse Day Spa, birmingham.woodhousespas.com, to check out everything. A show that'll make you look good, feel good, and sound good. He actually picks 6 or 7 classic rock songs that he loves, so it's his own show. When in Rome will start airing next week. But on Tuesdays, you're on with Dr. Alex Hublein and yourself for a show called Adapt or Perish. And I wanted to bring this up because two things. First of all, it's a business show on a classic rock station. That's kind of a head scratcher for a lot of people, but there is a lot of analogies and comparisons with the classic rock format and what business is all about. The other thing I think is super cool is this is the first show that you've actually hosted on your own, and you're absolutely flipping killing it. I've even said, why the hell can you not be like that with me in mornings? You're like this with... And even some people in his office in Atlanta believe there's some type of bromance going on between Dr. Josh and Dr. Alex. But it's a great show. Talk about Adapt or Perish a little bit. It airs at noon and 8 every Tuesday.
It's fun. Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, look, I'm learning from the best. And you have coached me over the years. I mean, the same way that I've taught you about relationship stuff and psychology, and now you sound like a psychologist on your own. I mean, you've definitely... show me what it means to be a host. And let me tell you, for your listeners, for those of us who did not grow up in this industry and this was not our primary, you know, career, It's flipping hard. It is easy. It is much easier when you are working with Tony Curry and he's driving and you are just kind of reacting. And the way I know that is then you stuck me in front of a mic and you said, here, go host a show. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then I realized, oh, my God, what the hell am I doing? So I've learned a lot there. This is a great show. And I'm not just promoting it. It is so much fun because it is not common. There are business shows and there are rock shows and there's stuff about business strategy and how to make $1 million and success and leadership and all that stuff. But you don't hear shows that mash that up with not just, it's not so much playing music, but using the music industry as stories and examples of things like entrepreneurship, disruptive technology, what it means to stay together with a tight culture. How do you take your business to the next level using bands like everything from Kiss to Rush to the Police? And, you know, Dr. Hubelin is a major classic rock aficionado. He's also an expert in business strategy. And so we riff back and forth about how do you become super successful in business and what can we learn from our favorite artists about how to do that? Because I think one of the things we forget is, I mean, we know music is a business, but I think we do forget as fans just how much of a business it is. And, you know, it's easy to talk about Apple or IBM or Kodak or whatever it is, but how do you talk about, you know, Kiss as a as an entity, as a successful business entity, or as you and I have talked about recently, all of these artists selling their rights to their music. You know, they're basically, what are they doing? They're going, it's acquisitions, right? These are acquisitions. Why is it happening now? How long should you hold on to your business before you start shopping around? So it's a lot of fun. We kind of rip on each other. He is he's an interesting cat when it comes to his music tastes, and he surprises me every week. So you got to tune in. You'll get great business tips. You'll also hear some quirky interests from Dr. Hubelin and myself about what we like and we don't like. And I'll just let you know right now from one of the shows that already aired, if you tell me that your favorite Styx song is Mr. Roboto, I am not going to talk to you again.
It is Adapt or Perish. It airs every Tuesday at noon and 8. And by the way, we're in partnership with Spotify. So coming up here sometime in early February, you'll be able to go back and listen to the 10, 11, or 12 shows we've already done. Of all the shows, we got well over 100 different shows. So you can binge listen whatever you want, stream it all on Spotify. We'll have all the details for that coming up on Tony Curry Radio and our podcast network coming up here soon. Dr. Josh, thank you, brother. Keep in touch. I will talk to you next Thursday. I'm certainly we'll talk to each other later on this afternoon. I love you, man.
Love you, brother.
Talk to you soon. And there he is, Dr. Josh Klapo, joined us right here on Tony Curry Radio Live this morning.